All right. Hi, everybody. It's Tim from Kuan Yin Healing, and we're here for session 7. How'd that happen already?
Wow.
All right. So I'd like to start, actually, by going over a bunch of things. So today's call and next week's call, we're going to start pulling a lot of these things together that we've been working on. Because we've covered quite a lot, as you can. But what I would like to hear about first, and I really would kind of like to go through everybody, if you'd be willing, or as many as are willing, the homework for this week was what are your new agreements? You know, what things are we going to be doing differently? What new ways of being? How are we? What kind of changes? And I'd really would love to hear about that, both your new agreements, your struggles with new agreements, your intentions around new agreements, or if you were catching up where you think you might go, and just kind of do some sharing all the way around. So I know you're thinking, this sounds like fun. So, who gets to go first? Hello.
Hi, it's Heather.
Hi, Heather. So, Heather, we're sharing our new agreement. What kind of changes? What things are we doing differently?
So what I want and why now?
Yeah.
Okay. So I actually just listened to the last bit of the call coming into this one to make sure I was caught up for tonight. And the big message was we can't do it alone with that soul self above our higher self. So that really hit home for me this week and played out in quite a few ways. And it's been a bit of a roller coaster and a lot of emotion tied to that. What does that mean?
Colleen here.
You know, who else participates? Like all this stuff. What does that actually mean? You don't do it alone. I really don't know the answer. So I'm looking forward to tonight.
Cool. And we'll solve all of your problems tonight. You'll never again have any problems ever in your whole life.
Well, that's what I came for, so I'm hoping.
Okay, who else? Let's keep them coming. Or just share how things are going. Where are we at here? What you got, people? What are you learning? What are you applying? What's different?
This is Selena.
Hi, Serena.
So, you know, I'm really very, very behind in homework. And I'm actually very okay with that. And that's very rare for me. I'm not usually okay with being behind in things. So I'm accepting that that's where I'm at. And I'm just kind of enjoying the ride of what this has been so far. And I totally plan to go back to do the homework. Once we've gone through this 8 weeks together, I'm going to start the process again just on my own. You know, in terms of what's going on, though, like, I never explicitly said what my new agreements are going to be, but I can see that I had put some into place anyways. So really it's about saying what's, I guess, true for me and doing what's true for myself in terms of what's important to me. Not choosing to play small because other people in my life expect that or that they're more comfortable with that. And being okay with any failures, you know, any setbacks that I have. Because I've had a few setbacks, and you know, I'm just kind of rolling with it now. I'm not letting it just totally bring me down for days on end. You know, it might be a one-day setback, and then I'm back up on my feet again, and I'm feeling great still. So I think I'm just kind of processing tough stuff a lot faster and allowing myself to be kind to myself and hope that other people will be kind to me too, but if they're not, it doesn't, you know, run me down anymore. And as a result, and just in terms of what I want for myself and my life, and I'm putting that out there into the universe, and it's just coming now. It's amazing. So I feel really blessed and just happy and just very happy most days. And then the days that I don't, it's very, very upset or very sad on my own to myself, and I work through it really quick, and then I'm on to happy again. It's a really, really big shift for me, and I'm just very happy with what I've come through in the last couple of months.
Nice. And like you say, there's no such thing as being behind, just where you are. And but my question is that when you're talking about things coming easily now, so what do you think that you're doing different that's allowing that to be?
I found that my meditation in the mornings has really helped, and I haven't been able to do it every day, but most days of the week I do. And one thing I really focus on when I do that is I'm really connecting in to my soul, and I do a little just kind of a centering talk to myself that Reiki often uses. So it's just for today, don't be angry. Don't worry, be grateful, be kind to others, and to work hard. And I say that to myself in the morning while I'm meditating, and it really just helps to ground me and to center me, and allows me to really just connect into me. But I kind of visualize grounding my feet into the earth and having the energy of the earth kind of flow through me. And connecting my heart out to the world in terms of sending love out, but also giving myself permission to accept love back and finding love wherever I happen to be and whatever's going on. And that little tweak in itself, which is really a big tweak, but that has just been phenomenal for me. And I think there's just this openness to the earth around me and to love and giving and receiving openly without any judgment at all in any way has been really transformational. And I think that's really what, you know, opened me up to the universe and all its awesomeness.
Nice. Who wants to follow that?
And I'm just going to throw it there. I've had some really rough days still, too. So if anybody else is, it's not just, you know, it's not just you. I have also.
Well, you know what they say. They call them hurdles because they're meant to be jumped over.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I look at it. I jump over. I'm like, okay, I'm done with that. Next. You know,
yeah.
So it's good.
I will tell you, a short story. You know, you've all seen enough of this process already, this probably won't surprise you greatly. You don't take 21 people on a transformational journey and not change yourself. That's just not how it works. And you know, I had to step into new ways of being, and I'm right there with you, Selena. It's, for the most part, it's wonderful and it's fantastic. And there's 2 and 3 days here and there where it's life just sucks and it's kind of hard. And you just have to work through it and you go, okay, I knew this would happen. Here it is. Okay, now we're past that. Now what?
Yeah.
And I don't know, I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. It's like when it's over, it's like somebody threw a switch, and I
yeah.
have 50 different ideas that have to be done today.
Oh my God, yeah. That's totally, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, so we can recognize that for what it is. You know, you're working against one of those inner barriers, and once you're past it, you're like, I can't even imagine what was slowing me down before. So. Cool.
Hi, this is Carol.
Hi, Carol.
It was good for me to hear someone else say, you don't have to do it all on your own. You can seek help, because I'm not very good at that. But this past week, I realized that several family members who have been overly dependent on me, I need to seek help elsewhere to help them. And in doing that, I think they will maybe respect the advice a little more, so that it isn't a family member suggesting this and that and the other thing. It's a third party, and it might have a little more impact. So that was a, gee, why didn't I think of that sooner? And also, my new agreement is to try to get outside and walk around in nature. I have tended not to do that, not to take the time to do that. And I long to do that. So that's my new agreement.
Sounds like a start. Sounds like a good start. I love nature, too.
Hi, Jim.
Before I came up. Yeah, go ahead.
First thing I wanted to say was the prayer about sending people in my path to help. I had to add another line to that goes, and please and thank you for helping me recognize them when they come.
Okay, you're welcome.
And this is—it's nice to hear. It's wonderful to hear people talk about all the good things that are happening, and it's really nice to also hear that people are going through a little bit of a hard time, a bump in the road. That's where I am right now, but it's nice to know that that's going to I'm going to be able to hurdle that one also. So thank you very much.
Sure. And, you know, and again, I started a couple of new programs professionally and some really awesome stuff, and I'm really excited about working with these people, and I'm looking forward to all the new ideas and all the rapid change. And, you know, but change is change, you know. We're all human, and just recognize that's part of it. On day one, as excited as I was, and I'm so glad I've been taking these steps, I wanted to curl up into a ball and cry. It's just like, it just seems like so different. And it's like, you know, but it will be different, and it will be better. And that's when things are good. You know, it's, you know, we don't always adapt to change well and readily. Hence this program. Help us do that. If that makes any sense to folks.
Thank you.
Sure. All right, who's next?
Hey, Tim, it's Latresa.
Hey.
How are you?
I am well.
Good. Well, I've made some big changes, and so I really stood in my power with my boss and just basically told her that, you know, this just wasn't working for me just because of the harassment and all that stuff going on. And so what I did is I chose to leave. And that was a big step because, you know, I hadn't really been looking for anything or anything like that. But it just felt like the right thing to do for me. And so, like, the first couple of days, you know, I'd cry a little bit here and there. But then after that, everything was just full of joy and love and peace. And I'm back to who I am without feeling like I'm carrying, you know, thousands of pounds on me, like weights. And so I no longer feel weighted down. And so many amazing things have come from it. It's just been amazing and wonderful, and I'm very, very grateful for everything that I've learned, you know, on our calls, but then also just to be able to apply different things that we did learn or that I did learn by it was just a perfect time for me to really get involved and to get into where we are, because some of them I missed because I was late getting home and things like that. So I'm excited about catching up.
Awesome. What are some of the wonderful new things that have happened?
Well, I mean, I've had some amazing people come into my life. It's just, you know, relationships, and that's been really nice. There was this one person that had put out a message. He actually had worked at Walmart and managed 144 stores, and then he had been in the military, and he was in a boat, and a sailboat, and he had a heart attack, and instead the people that were trying to resuscitate him accidentally, I guess, used the wrong tools, and so he died 5 times. And I was able, somehow I came in touch with him, and I just wanted to talk with him and see, you know, if he was okay and what's going on, because, like, he can barely, so when he starts walking, he shuffles his feet, and then he has a cane, and then you have to hold his hand. But mentally, it's a little slow, but it's all there. And so it was just the things that I learned from him, based on everything that he has been through in his life. I mean, it was just a beautiful, beautiful story and a beautiful reference of who he is and, you know, what his heart looks like. And I just felt really honored to be able to share that with him. So that was, I mean, someone I'd never met, had no idea, you know, what I was getting into, but it just felt like the right thing to do. And so that's it. But then there have been other things going on, too, that have been awesomely wonderful. So it's really been a great day.
Wow. What a connection.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Okay, who else there? Lori, Pam, Eileen, Tesla, Heather.
Hi, this is Lori. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I wanted to be sure I wasn't on mute. I have come across some really interesting things going on. I found that, you know, if I trip 3 times, I'm moving into another place. If I sneeze 3 different times, same thing. I got on the freeway Monday night after Reiki, Reiki circle that I go to, and I have a bright red car. There were 4 red cars. We were all lined up. It was really great. There's things happen when these things happen. I mean, it just, you're going from one place to another. It's just such an amazing thing. And you look at it and go, oh, where am I going? You know, where am I going to be? You know, where is this going to lead me to? And it's been fabulous. I finally started dreaming again. And that at least I've seen my dreams. Not that I really enjoy them yet, but I've seen them. I haven't done that for quite a while, since I was getting visions of my daughter being under a horse and then seeing it happen, you know, and being told possibly I could change, you know, change the vision. And I did change it. So I was that. But anyway, it's nice to dream again and to be more comfortable with myself. And doing the grateful, you know, what you're grateful for every day. Sometimes you, that are really, you know, it's been almost what, I don't know how many days, but you look over it and go, I can't put the same thing down twice. You know, it's really hard sometimes. You really have to search. And it takes some time to do that once in a while. So that was great. Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next. Speak right up. No waiting. Dive in. Tell us.
Hi, this is Sandy.
Heather. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Let's do Heather. Okay. Let's do Heather and then Sandy.
One of my new agreements is to stay more true to myself because when I get into a group situation, I tend to just, you know, go with the group and just because I'm really go with the flow, like, you know, I just go with it. And so one of my new agreements is to be, you know, to assert my independence and just really stay true to myself and stuff like that.
I like it. How is that working out?
It's working out pretty well so far.
Excellent.
Mine is, this is Sandy. Mine is kind of along that same line because I have changes that I need to make. And one of them is finding a job. And, you know, I'm just not going to take any job. I'm going to be very specific and be true to myself and, you know, not live my life by default anymore. You know, it's got to be on purpose and it has to be what I want. And, you know, and I'm going to take my time and create what I want it to be. One of the other things that I wanted to say was, one of the things that I find myself doing is, you know, when I find myself in a place where I'm judging either something, somebody saying something happening, you know, my mind will start to judge something and then I will catch myself and stop, you know, and just kind of go, you know, outside myself and just say, you know, okay. You know, this person, you know, we are all doing our own thing. Everybody's on their own journey and just kind of accept them and accept the situation for what it is. And I, you know, and just doing that more so and just, I mean, that's just more awareness, you know, doing that much more so than, you know, than I would before. Just staying detached. I mean, that's really, you know, that's really what it comes down to, not getting sucked in and, just, you know, staying detached and letting it all happen and just flow through me and not, you know, not allow it to, you know, not allow my mind to react to it, really.
How's that working for you?
Good.
Much
better.
Yeah, a lot easier, isn't it?
Well, it's easier, especially when it's like, outside of, you know, the people that I'm around the most, you know, my family, my kids and whatnot, much easier to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incidentally, because it's a little off our topic tonight, but one of my long professional areas is in labor on all sides of this, and the simple reality is that it's easier to create the job you want than it is to settle for anything. It's actually easier.
Yeah. And you know what? And I did that the last time. I took a job with a company that ended up going out of business. You know, I mean, it was on its way out anyways. But I got exactly what I asked for, you know. I mean, and I did, and I was specific last time. And I got exactly what I asked for. You know, a couple things I'll do differently this time. You know, I asked for a fun boss. I got a fun boss. It wasn't so fun.
Yeah.
It just wasn't. You know, I had had drill sergeants in the past, so the fun boss, yeah, won't go there this time.
Right.
It'll be a little different.
And when we just take anything and settle for anything, and then we wonder, why can't I get what you want? And it's like, you
right.
did get what you wanted.
Exactly.
Yeah. This is going to be one of those the cat sleeps on my notes lectures. okay, who else? Tesla, Eileen, Pam? Well, hasn't gone
Hi,
yet.
This is Tesla.
Hi, Tesla.
One of my new agreements has been to not let my fears, like, limit me so much. Because, and a prime example of that would be my running, because I love to run. But I've always been scared of dogs because I've had some biting experiences in the past. So I limit, like, I, like, made this unconscious agreement that I couldn't run anywhere where I, unless I was absolutely certain there, nobody had a dog, and I would only run at certain times because that's when I knew the dog was out, and it was just this whole crazy thing. And now once I, it was actually when I was talking with my mom, when I said, well, what if one of my desires is to be a long-distance runner? And then she said, if that was really your desire, you would be training like Dave. And Dave is someone she works with who's like a serious marathoner guy. So mm-hmm. I was like, oh, and then it just kind of clicked that, like, well, if I really wanted to do this, I wouldn't be so afraid of it, because how can I love running when I'm so scared of dogs? So it was a big thing, and I'm so happy. It's really liberating to get past it, because now I can run anywhere I want to.
Nice.
So it's been really good, though. And instead of being fearful, I run confidently, but I also am prepared. I carry mace with me. So should there be something, and then I'm prepared, but I'm not fearful of every house around the corner. So it's been really good.
Cool. I'll tell you, Tesla, when I was your age, I was extremely shy. And the only problem with that is that I wanted to be a professional musician. And that was going to be difficult to do both those things. And obviously, I got over my fear of audiences, and I did become a professional musician. And but yeah, it was. If it's important, we work our way through it. And awesome, well done. Okay, who's left? Get at least somebody else in here. Jump right up. One more. You can do it. Pam, Eileen, who else?
Oh.
Going once. Going twice. Okay. Well, all right then. thanks for sharing, everybody. And today, I want to kind of look at putting together a lot of what we have worked on before, worked on so far here. And pulling together some of those things, as well as looking ahead to moving ahead from here. So we've gone through our different levels of being and new agreements. And one of the things I'd like you to consider as you go through your day and you find problems or things you want to work on is to start to remember this idea that, like in the reconnection, we are energy, frequency, and vibration. And having all that work well is a matter of coherence. It's not doing things from the extreme physical end. It's not doing things from the extreme spiritual end. It's not trying to do everything from the mental end. All this is trying to, do all the lifting from one end of a heavy board, right? And just switching ends. We want to get all these working together coherently, working in balance. And you can use this knowledge now to think in terms of that. So, for example, if you are, if you are facing some sort of physical challenge, deal with that on the physical level. But additionally, ask yourself, what's the emotional impact of that? And you can start to address that on the emotional level as well. What are your thoughts about this? And you can start to address that on the thought level as well. Okay. What about, and we're going to get more strict with our terms here. So going to the Buddhic plane, which really is intuition, not yet spirit yet, what about the level of intuition? Okay. Remember, will is only one-third, of our essential being. It's the lowest part. So what about intuition? And what about spirit, awareness with a capital A, the Atma, our connection to the divine? And what are the impacts all the way around? And really thinking through that, what's your intuition about this? What comes up in meditation? If you're facing an emotional challenge, okay, ask yourself, what is here on a physical level that you have to deal with? Often when you're in an emotional place, it's, one of my favorite sayings is, move a muscle, change a thought, just get up, get moving. You feel better. Or if you're in an emotional state, ask yourself, when did I go to bed? What did I eat? Am I taking care of myself? It will change your emotional state. What are the physical things that are contributing to this emotional state? And there will be some. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts contributing to an emotional state? Remember that emotions are reflections of our thoughts. So if you're not feeling well emotionally, there's a problem with the thoughts that are running the system. Think different thoughts, you'll feel different emotions. What about intuition? Okay, we talk about intuition like it's a once in a while thing. It should be a constant thing. We all should constantly be looking to intuition, as long as it's both are looking under the rule of spirit. If you are going through a bunch of mental confusion, okay, and I think a lot of us do this, I contend very much to live in my brain. Again, stop and think, one of the things I think we almost never consider is, again, what are the physical things to this, right? I start getting all confused and frustrated in my head. Sometimes it's I went to bed late and I skipped breakfast and lunch, and it's as easy as that. I need to pay attention to my physical habits. Maybe it's time for a run. Sometimes if you're wrestling with one thing, just cleaning up your space will make a huge difference. What physical changes can be made? And really starting to appreciate that those physical changes are going to impact everything else in the system. Again, if you've got a lot of thoughts going on in your head, they're going to be emotional reflections of that. What are those emotions? What can we do to work on that level? And of course, at the mental level, remembering that you're not your thoughts, but also remembering to that your brain should always be looking to intuition under the guise of spirit. And this is going to be a very new habit for most of us. If you are literally trying to say, okay, look, I want to develop my intuition. I really want to do that. How do I do that? Don't forget that there's a physical component. You know, take care of yourself physically. Clean up your space. What do you know? What are you noticing about things? Listen to your body, right? You know, our instincts. There's all kinds of wisdom right in your body. Pay attention to your feelings, right? You know how we say, no, you just get a feel for this. You know, there's information in your feelings. There's awareness in your feelings that you can listen to. Then that's connected to intuition. We tend to focus on our thoughts. So sudden thoughts flash into your head. Okay, these are mirrors of intuition. And remember that intuition should be looking to spirit. So a solid spiritual practice. If you're trying to develop your spiritual practice, your intuition should be looking to your spiritual practice. And you want to live a much more spiritual life in tune with the divine. Pay attention to the physical elements and the emotional elements and the mental elements and the intuition elements, because they're all connected. One isn't higher, one isn't lower. These are all aspects of ourselves. It's a very different way to think about whatever it is we're wrestling with. Okay? We might be drawn to some weakest link at the moment, but you can start to learn to ask yourself, you know, I want to be whole, I want to be balanced. And that means looking at yourself on all levels so that you work coherently. This is largely what the reconnection does, is balance all these things out. And when you do that, especially looking at, well, how can I get in touch with intuition or get in touch with spirit, having everything work smoothly is how you do that. And that's why we have some of the remarkable experiences in the reconnection that we do, because that channel is all clear. Now, since we do tend to live in our level of thought, I want to take a look just for a few minutes about how to look better at our intuition, and our spirit. So, understand that when you're looking at levels other than mind, okay, use what we know about physical awareness, right? We already know that our bodies are smart, that our bodies even have memory, right? Muscle memory, things like this. If I'm performing a difficult piece and I blank out mentally on it, my hands will probably remember how to play it without my brain, while my brain is figuring out, you know, for example. And the same kind of thing happens when we look at the intuitive level. There are different ways to know and be aware and experience. Okay? So one of the easiest ways to start to look at this, when we think of turning towards intuition and messages, so to speak, from the divine, you know, we start expecting some sort of dictation. Understand that this instead tends to come in pictures and images and symbols, okay? Like dreams, like the symbols in the hero's journey and our stories that we tell. And so one really good way is to work instead with images and look what images come. So here's an example of how that might work, okay? Assuming you're not driving or something like that. Sit back and just relax and close your eyes. Just relax. Take a nice deep breath and just sink in. We're going to look for one common question that people have. And that is, well, what's my path? What am I supposed to do about this? About whatever it is. So just relax for a minute. And find yourself walking in a beautiful forest. Okay? And you're comfortable, but it's foggy. Okay? It's a nice day. You can smell the beautiful sense of nature. You can hear, you know, birds chirping. It's a comfortable temperature. The earth feels good beneath your feet. What you can see looks nice, but you can't see far. You're in a fog, literally. Just take a minute and look at your forest, what you can see of it, and consider your position here in this smoky mirror world, as Ruiz would put it. And as you look to one side, you see there's a small pond. And right at the edge of the pond, there's a canoe. And just ask yourself, just be open to what comes. So one of the things that may well come is that you need to be on the other side of this pond. And you're in this fog, but it's as simple as this. You're just on the wrong side of the pond, and here's a canoe. And you think about this, and you wonder, why aren't I just getting in the canoe? And yet, there you are, standing and looking at it. And again, just notice this. And what is the problem exactly? What's this resistance about? And just notice it. Don't worry about it. Just notice it. What is going on? And then the kind of thing that can happen here, suddenly you simply find yourself in the canoe. Right? You don't remember getting in. You're just now in the canoe in the middle of the pond making the crossing. And you look around and just notice where you are. And similarly, you just sort of find yourself out of the canoe on the other side. And at the other side, you can see through the fog that you weren't in a dense forest, but actually you're on the side of a mountain, and you can see kind of out over the fog. Okay, you can see peaks stretching out in all directions. And as you look at these peaks, you see that connecting these peaks, there's a grid of light. There's a grid of light. And as you notice this grid of light, it starts to solidify into a floor and sort of suspended above the peaks. Kind of like two different realities. And way in the middle of this floor, high above the valley, is a circle, like a council site. And there are people there waiting. They're waiting for you. They're patient. They're friendly. There's a conference, and they're waiting for you to join them. And as you look, maybe a little hesitant, and ask yourself, what's this hesitancy about? And then once again, it's not so much you cross, you just suddenly find yourself there in the circle yourself, taking your seat, sitting down with the rest of these people who have been waiting for you. and just sit for a minute and just take your place and listen. And then just notice and be aware. Who are these people? Maybe you know them. Maybe they're strangers. They know you. Maybe something in between. But just notice who's there, what they're like. What do they have to say to you? And just listen in turn. Why have they been waiting for you, so friendly, so open? What is it they want to share with you? Maybe without being aware, it was you who called this meeting. What is it you want to ask them? Go ahead and ask them. What is it you want to know from these people? What do they have to share with you? Do they have any gifts for you? Anything to give you? What are these gifts? What are they for? And as you go through these exchanges and conversations, as the meeting perhaps draws to a close for now, you can see that the message is that you're invited here anytime, that they will always be here waiting for you and always glad to see you. And it's just relax and breathe for a minute. And you find yourself back in your current reality. Only with the things that you went, that you gained from this visit. Just take a minute and let that sink in. Take another slow, deep breath. And this is just one way to do this. Okay, you could follow any images that come up. I simply gave you a place to start. But I'm curious now how this was for you. What came up for you? What did you notice? What'd you find out? Anybody? Do you remember to take notes? Anybody willing to share a little?
Well, this is Sandy. I didn't necessarily notice anything because I'll tell you what, I jumped in the canoe before you said get in the canoe and go across the pond. I was already in it.
Yeah.
And when the people in the group were my guides and my angels. And, you know, as you were talking, I was kind of talking to them. You know, I don't listen very well. So that's definitely something that I have to work on. I ask them questions. I talk to my guides all the time. I don't, you know, and they answer me. You know, I have to search, though, for the answers, because it's not obviously always, you know, something that I hear. It could be a sign somewhere that I read or something in a book, you know. So I get my answers in different ways. So, so there wasn't necessarily an answer right then and there.
Yeah, and a lot of the point of this is to start to embrace the idea and get comfortable with the idea of getting information in images. In symbols,
yeah.
You know, right. And not convince, you know, not only words.
Right.
So an example I use a lot is, for example, you know, music. People will say, "Oh, music is so expressive," you know, and they can, and it is, and they're sensitive to all the nuances. And then you say, "So what is it expressing?" And then they don't know. You know?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Who else is brave? If you speak up, Tessa will let you borrow her mace. Who hasn't shared yet? Eileen.
Oh. Well, as soon as you started talking about the canoe, the dream I had this week flashed before my, you know, kind of had that vision thing that I had the power to heal with my hands, and I had used it in a very negative way to hurt somebody and had them very sick and brought up a lot of stuff. Well, took the canoe ride and found that person on the other side that I had harmed. A bit of a powerful visualization there.
That's really interesting, too, on hero's journey level, because the other is always ourselves.
Yeah.
Everyone we're doing battle with, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I know it's the work is very spherical. It's not like you plan to do something and it's linear. It works on a lot of levels, you know, on all different levels.
And anything after that?
No.
Okay. No. All right. Fair enough. Okay. Well, the point really here isn't, a quick meditation or even this one. The point is to sit down and let things happen in images. Let things just come. You know, one of the deeper reasons for meditation is first get some distance from our thoughts. And then when you get some distance to your thoughts, you can start to be aware of what's going on with intuition and spirit. And how do you tell intuition from, you know, versus wishful thinking and projective fears? Well, that's the whole challenge of the threefold journey of the tarot I mentioned last time briefly. But the The question is whether you're being open or whether we're being willful. And that really is the difference right there. Willful, not in the intention sense. So let me stress a couple other things about the implications of what we've been learning then. So not only remembering to work together, that anytime you're doing anything that leaves one of the levels out, you know, you're trying to, it'd be like trying to run, and you're focusing on your, you know, on your hips and on your shoulders, but you know, like not your feet and your head, and you know, you can't run that way. The whole thing's got to move ahead as a unit. Remember some of the things we've learned in terms of energy, that we are not alone. We are never alone. We are, except as egos, we are not individuals. You know, the Oversoul is a group. Not only is it a good idea to get help, we literally don't exist as individual, but as part of that whole. We literally are surrounded by, you know, by helpful others. And really challenging that conception of reality. We tend to see things as, you know, etched in stone, and the reality is we're energy, vibration, and frequency. And when we can really start to accept that, we can understand just a couple of important things. One is just how fluid things can be. When we cross the threshold right at the beginning or near the beginning of the hero's journey, cross the first threshold, we leave the comfort zone and everything. The first thing that happens when we leave the comfort zone is now magic in the general sense is possible, but also everything is fluid. Everything that was solid is now uncertain. So the hero's journey from here, this process that we've talked about, is an ongoing thing. And the real challenge of it and the real wonder of it and the real wonder of it is that you start to realize that we are not who we think. Okay? We usually don't think coherently. We usually don't think that we are part of a network of others. We usually don't think that we're surrounded by help. We usually don't think that we're energy, frequency, and vibration in a 24/7 way. But that's reality. And so, literally, we are not who we think. And as we move forward in transformation, and that's one of the things that's so powerful about the reconnection, is it doesn't recognize who you think you are. It knows who you are. And this is what a hero does in our journey, right? Think of any story you wish, okay? The hero starts off with certain conceptions, but as the hero progresses, the hero recognizes that, or starts to suspect anyway, that he or she is more. And as the story continues to unfold, and the hero faces challenge after challenge and gets help after help, and the story progresses, the hero changes. And the hero, in the middle of the story, in the third of the way, in two-thirds of the way, at the end of the story, the hero is not the same person who entered this. The hero is changing it every time. And this is a useful thing to embrace. It's like, you know, if things are so wonderfully laid out for us, right, why do we struggle so much? It's because we are not who we think we are. We are under a case of mistaken identity. And operating under mistaken identity doesn't work as well, right? So any kind of change, anything that you want, anything that you desire, anything that you want to improve, this, enter it in the full understanding that, one, things are going to have to change. Okay? You can't just change one thing. Things are going to have to change, and that changes a bunch of things. And that, two, that thing that has to change is you. That all changes come down to personal growth. That all changes come down to an inner change. Okay? On all levels. And all changes are transformative. And so the hero's journey becomes not simply getting unstuck, which it does, and not simply growing into something better, which it does. You know, it's the hero's on a quest. But what the hero does not realize is that the hero is on a quest to find him or herself, that he or she does not know who he or she is, and that on the hero's journey, they will start to find out. And this, my friends, is the journey that you are on. Okay? That it's a process of finding out who you really are. And it's a process that's something that you're going to learn in stages. And that as you learn this, as you find out you are someone other than who you thought, you are going to change. And you're going to be different. Okay? You're already different than you were when you started this program, right? We were talking about that earlier. So this raises a couple of important things as we move forward. One is the supreme importance of getting comfortable with uncertainty. Okay, that comfort zone we left behind. Even when we go back to it next week, it will not be the same place we left. Okay? Because we have changed. And that's going to call for some other changes that we'll talk about next week. So we can't stay where we are because we know too much, right? We already know too much about the comfort zone. The comfort zone is painful. It's stuck. If we try to act willfully in ways that aren't balanced, we're just gonna struggle in pain. We aren't being punished. We just, you know, this is atonement with the Father. We're off doing something that we're not ready and not capable of doing yet. It's going to be painful until we come back into balance. It's like, why would anybody go on this journey if it promises to be painful? If they're going to be painful episodes, right? I mean, continually finding out you're not who you thought you were and is not at the top of the list of fun things to do on a weekend. But not only does it get you unstuck, but this is where the real wisdom of Joseph Campbell's three-word synopsis of this is, follow your bliss. This is not a process of escaping pain. Escaping pain is a pretty low motivation. Right? Rather, it's a process of following your bliss. What's so important that the pain is a hurdle, not an obstacle? Right? Something to be jumped over, not something to stop you. Okay? That I want to learn this trial because I need this skill so that I can move forward. Okay? And to understand that that means I have to step into a new way of being. It means I have to learn something else about myself. And that the further you grow, you know, the bigger these things get because you have changed into a hero that faces those kinds of challenges. You know, reminded of what Barb Marley said, you don't know how strong you are until you're in a position where being strong is your only choice, right? But you come out of that with real wisdom. And this is the hero's journey. Getting out of the tyranny of the mind, of the ego in the strict sense, and getting into who you really are. And who you really are is that highest intelligence, that intuition, and that awareness, that divine awareness. That's who you really are. And that's the level at which you're really capable. Remember we talked about comedy and tragedy, and and comedy is about looking at human frailties generally, right? And they don't have to be funny, but they often are. They're at least lighter. And that's because look at all the help you've got, right? It's working as a group. The reason tragedies are painful is that tragedy is all about one person clinging to a tragic flaw. And it can't help but be painful and cause results, negative results, right? And so the key is to get away from that and instead follow your bliss. Get help. Be part of a greater network. And then we can put these powers into the proper perspective. I love that saying that worry is a misuse of the imagination. Okay, it's a creative force put to a destructive purpose. And this is the intention too. We talked early on about awareness with a small a as being an early master of being, of just be aware of what's happening. Some of you said this earlier. It's not so much that any monumental thing changes, but you notice now. You're aware of it. And now that you're noticing it, you're aware, you'll make different choices. Okay? And life gets a little bit easier. The second mastery is transformation. Once you're aware, you can start to make, you can start to choose these changes and these transformations. And then the third mastery is intention. Okay? And this is the level at which we can start talking about manifestation in a purposeful sense. And you'll know that you're onto something when you can truly get that intention is the same thing as love. Intention is the same thing as love. Follow your bliss is absolute wisdom. This is the way to have intention. What's your bliss? Follow it. Okay? They're the same thing. So, at one point we looked at, or you have probably seen, the Getting Unstuck and the Law of Attraction material that I looked at one point in some free teleseminars and some videos. And I want to look at some of those again really quick as a review because now it's going to mean something more to you than it did before. Okay? So, let's start first with getting unstuck. One of the early problems with getting the idea of getting unstuck is step one, the nine steps to getting unstuck. Step one is understand what's not working. Okay? And this is an awareness step. And one of the early things that don't work is blaming others. Okay? Whose fault is this? Or playing the victim. Oh, everybody's doing everything to me, and so forth, right? Or somebody should come in and fix this. It's a lack of understanding. We can never control other people. I'm rather starting to recognize that the other is us. It's like there's something in us that is creating this situation. I don't mean to blame people for the negative things that happen to them. But I do mean to recognize at some level is that you're in the world you are because you created it. And if there's something there that isn't working for you, it is part of you and it is something to face. And this is the whole point of the hero's journey. And that these to start to recognize that this isn't the negative part of existence. This is a wonderful part of existence because its key point, it's pinpointing exactly where you need to work to move ahead. Like exactly those things in the way, those things that are bugging you, those current reactions. Step two of getting unstuck is recognizing that we need help, that we... you don't try to do all this by yourself. If you try to do it by yourself, you're going to be in a tragedy, right? You're already here because of whatever flaw. To simply cling to that is going to simply make the current situation worse. We need help. And to start to recognize we're surrounded by help. This is the purpose of love, right? This is connection. Just reach out for it. Step three is find a spiritual center. Now, this is something I had you do right at the beginning before we got into all this, but now you can see the importance of it. And what I would invite you to do now is deepen it. Whatever your meditation practice, whatever your spiritual center, I would hope at this point, and I'm sure you are, you're starting to see just how important this is. and how it's not an obstacle about this. This is a really important thing. This is like eating 3 meals a day and getting some sleep and getting exercise. That the spiritual center part of your life is just absolutely crucial, not an afterthought, not a nice touch. And step four is take a personal examination. We've kind of been doing this in pieces, but really go through and look at it. You know, where are you? What do you want? Most people don't get what they want because they don't know what it is. You can't follow your bliss if you don't know what it is. And so you really have to sit down and take a good look inside. Remember to look at the good things outside you as well. This is a good place to turn to you with, to your intuition. Okay. Go back to the council. Listen, raise questions. Step five, where are their weak spots? Okay. You can't fix everything at once. Don't try to. But where are the weakest links? Okay. What are you going to work on right now? You don't have to work on everything at once. What do you want to work on right now? Okay. You take care of those rather than, oh, there's just so much. Pick a few. And this goes for anything. You know, if you're, you know, worried about some things in a business, I do this myself. There's no way I could possibly do every single thing that I could be working on. I have to decide which ones and pick those. Okay. As well as follow your bliss. Where are the strong ones? Do your next moves. Step six, fix our side of the problems. You can't control other people. They're not going to act perfectly because they're human beings just like you. Okay? They're trying to figure all this out just like you. So wherever we have, you know, perhaps a misunderstanding, perhaps not, where we harmed others, we need to make it right. And not for the other person, but for ourselves. It's going to be a part of our energy until we make it right for ourselves. It will keep us stuck. Okay? There again, don't do this by ourselves because now we're right back to ego. Find someone you trust and get their advice on this. And somebody, you know, this also keeps us accountable when you get other people in mind, right? I belong to a small mastermind group. We meet every 2 weeks by phone. One of the things it does, among all the support, is that every 2 weeks you have to tell other people what you've done. You know, you don't want to go in and say, I didn't do anything this week. And by fixing it, I don't mean simply I'm sorry, but truly get it in and going, what would make this right? What would square this? Okay. Step seven of getting unstuck is continually get into the habit of continual self-examination. The good as well as the bad. The point isn't to beat you up. The point isn't what am I doing wrong. The point is pay attention to what's going on. That's it. Okay. And as you do this, start to simplify. Because where am I just doing things that just, you know, don't need to be done? And where am I creating problems and complexities where they don't need to be? Where am I coming in and making judgments, right? As Don Miguel Ruiz would say, don't make assumptions, right? Don't take anything personal. Be impeccable with your word. Always do your best. Keep things simple. And here's the side benefit of keeping things simple. Without all the clutter, you start being lucky. Seriously. This is where luck comes from. You get all the other stuff that's out of the way, you will find that simplifying your life allows you to be lucky. Things will just happen. Okay? Some of you have experienced this as, you know, as part of the reconnection already. Happened to me as well. But simplify. Get rid of this stuff, and you'll find luck is part of your life. Keep developing that connection to your spiritual practice. Develop a habit of humility and service. Okay? Value yourself, but understand where you are. Ask yourself, how can I serve? Okay? What's my role? Get away from the mental ego dominance into what's my contribution here? Okay? And freely share. Getting unstuck is not about you winning. It's about love and compassion. Remember the Bodhisattva, right? At the highest self, it makes no sense for anything except love and compassion. Sharing and serving keeps things green and relevant for us. Again, I love the metaphor of the stream. Water needs to continually flow in. Water needs to continually flow out. And if we don't have that, it's not abundance. It becomes a flood. It becomes stagnant. Okay? So that's just to get us to rolling again, right? To get the law of attraction working, the typical misconceptions that people have is that the law of attraction isn't working for them. Well, in fact, it is working. And that's actually part of the problem, right? So, yeah, looking around and being aware and taking responsibility that our choices already dictate our lives. And being aware that you have a lot of what you want already. So you've done a good job of this in terms of manifesting, okay? You know enough at this point to know why willpower and setting intention often doesn't get results for people. We're physically, emotional, mental, spiritual, right? Willpower and setting intention only uses one aspect, and willpower and setting intention isn't going to do any good without awareness and transformation, without incorporating intuition and spirit. It's just how it is, right? We're full beings. But that's how to make, but once you make that work, okay, you know, it's like a sympathetic vibration. That one small change gets everything flowing with you. And you'll find that you can start manifesting things very quickly. Okay? Once you get clear about what it is that you want. And again, if you're not clear about what I want, don't get frustrated about that. Recognize it for the mental problem it is, and work on the physical, emotional, intuition, and spiritual aspects, and it will become clear. Okay? Raising vibration, again, think in terms of coherency and completeness, not escaping the mundane. That was misconception 3. Misconception 4, feeling. Do you want to be happy? You know, understanding that if we want to be in a different place than we are, we need to make changes. The 5th common misconception, that achieving a change is consciousness, that we should know that achieving a change in consciousness means that things have to change. You don't just suddenly know things and go on as before. Every step of the way, this will change you. This will change who you are. And that's good. Everything grows, right? Everything changes. Everything moves ahead. Misconception 6, uncertainty in Shiva. Okay? So again, I'll review here for this point. Learn to get comfortable with uncertainty. Okay? Learn to truly appreciate the wonder of this, right? So that life isn't boring. Learn to appreciate Shiva. Destruction is part of this process of creation, preservation, and cutting away. And if we don't cut away, we're back to stagnant swamps. Let things flow out of your existence as well as letting things flow in. Okay? Misconception 7, love and gratitude are the foundations. Okay? People are already sharing wonderful stories about this, but really be clear on this point. How do I move forward? Move forward in love. Follow your bliss. Serve others. Okay? Do what you love. And start with gratitude. This is not the end of the process. This is the beginning of the process. Be so grateful for what's present that what the future brings doesn't matter. I mean, just the reality of this situation that entirely, you know, we say like, oh, you know, he thinks the world revolves around him. The world does revolve around you in this sense, okay? It's just that we're not always very good at it, or we have so much, you know, junk that we're sending out as well. We just need focus and the passion. That's what intention needs. And be so grateful that you have this element of detachment. It doesn't mean that you don't have desire, right? It means being detached to the outcome and moving forward, understanding that it's a journey. 8, if you want something you've never had, you'll have to do things you've never done. Without new approaches, we just get more of the same. Okay? Get help from others with the extra resources. We get out of the limitations of our own minds. That alone is a wonderful benefit. And then we expand. 9, again, what do you want? Why do you want it? Get clear. Okay? What do you love? Why do you love it? Get clear on this. It's okay if it takes time. Go through that why list we talked about many, many times. What will it do for you? How will it feel when you have it? How can you feel just thinking about it? You'll know you're there when you are happy and excited right now. You haven't even started yet, and you're already happy and excited. You're there. It's like that trip to California you're planning, right? Unless you already live in California, but as a couple people in this group do. But you're already, it's like you're just packing, getting ready for it. You're still at home, and you're already excited and happy, okay? That's the kind of thing I mean. And it can change, and it can adjust, and that's fine, right? As a hero goes through the story and the journey and different things happen and becomes different people, the hero starts to want different things, starts to have different goals. The mission changes, and that's fine. 10, whatever we spend time doing, we get better at. If we spend time recreating the status quo, we'll get better and better at it. If we spend time transcending limitations, we'll get better at that. Attraction takes growth. It's not like ordering for the menu here. Okay? And then the last two things on this list I wanted to actually to talk about a little bit, and that is the nature of goals and the nature of desire, and also the nature of healing. So I want to talk just a bit quickly about healing. Because we've talked about healing quite a bit as we looked at each level of these things, and especially in the transcripts, there's a ton of information. But an extra point I want to make about healing is that all healing, physical, emotional, mental, etc., all healing is releasing. That is literally all it is. Okay? There's a kink in the stream, and we're just letting it go. That's why reconnective healing works. We're finding an interesting space, we're kind of stretching the energy, and then everything runs smoothly again. Think of it in that way. And this is literal. In the last summer, I went mountain climbing every week. Last summer, well into the fall, actually. I went mountain climbing every single week. And I started to notice that I was remembering a story one of my clients had told me once. He had he has a camp up by around Pacifico Lake, and it's 15 miles into it. And this was at the end of winter. So there is about 4 foot of snow on the ground, but it was starting to get soft. So he's out there 15 miles with a snowmobile coming back from camp. And, you know, he goes over like 20, 30 feet and the snowmobile kind of sinks in and he's got to get out and pull it back up and goes another 20, 30 feet and he's got to do this again for 15 miles. And we happen to have an appointment for the rest of his reconnections, which he kept. But he could barely get out of the truck. I mean, he was so sore. We did our session, and called me the next day and says, "I slept like a baby. I got up at 6. I felt fine. Went to work, not sore anywhere." And I was thinking about that. I was going on some very long hikes, you know, literally all day, 8, 10, 12 or more hours, and I started thinking about that. You know, instead of like healing. Which was what I tried first. Now I get back, I'd be sore, and say, okay, now let's just release this and let's just let it heal. Don't make the assumption that it's going to be sore in 2 or 3 days. Let's just heal it right now. And I found, wow, that's so cool. I can do this. It took some concentration at first. Yeah, but it hurts. Well, go back, try it again, just release it. Just watch it just dissipating. And then I learned later that I could do this while I was hiking. Literally dissipating anything as I was hiking. And that literally, I still got tired, doesn't make you Superman, but literally I could hike all day, I could climb all day and not get sore anywhere. Okay? I mean, that's how well this works at a physical level. And, you know, even to the extent that my climbing last year came to an end in October when I stepped off a rock on top of Algonquin Peak, which is way above the tree line, and there was this horrible cracking, grinding, snapping sound, and I thought I'd broken my leg, and I just all but blew out my knee. And, you know, then talk about manifestation. My first thought was, you know, if you're serious about, you know, this healing thing, then why don't you just, you know, let this release right now, and it's, you know, well, it's a pretty serious injury, but it's a place to start. And then I'm like, okay, this is kind of dangerous because here I'm above the tree line. It's late October. It's almost dusk. It's foggy. It's, you know, I can't stay here. I don't have the clothes to stay here. This is dangerous. That morning, I had seen, you know, the emergency ranger's number, and I thought, I should put this in my phone just in case. I'd seen it hundreds of times that morning I did it. And I called the ranger because I couldn't walk. And the he goes, well, you know, are you alone? And he goes, well, yes, but here comes somebody. I mean, it was just like that. And then somebody happened to be an ER doctor at that. And then, so, I mean, the point is I had everything I needed. And the ranger brought up walking sticks and ibuprofen and lamps. And so all my fears that I would have had about getting down alone are gone. It became just a nice walk on a long October night. And when I got back to the doctor later and they did the examination, and then, you know, he said, well, you just have a sprain right here, and rotoscope for physical therapy. And the physical therapist, you know, said, well, you know, tell me what happened. And I tell the whole story. She goes, well, you're very lucky you didn't blow out your entire knee, which would have meant surgery and 6 months recovery. You know, from what it sounds like, you probably did rip your ACL and tear your meniscus, and somehow you've just managed to heal it. And so I didn't say anything, but I kind of left it at that. There's on my blog, you can see there's a couple of different really wonderful stories. One that Greg Braden shares about some things that are happening in Japan and in China, where they really just focused not on the illness, but on the wellness. And they have achieved some very, very remarkable recoveries, some of them instantaneous, simply by insisting in their intention that the person is well and feeling that well, and feeling it not as something that happened, but something that is already done. It's just simply a done deal, right? There is so much we have to learn about healing, but it comes in recognizing that all these things work together. The same thing is true of emotional pain. Let it go. You know, why do we have emotional sufferings? Because we cling to emotional pain. We love to cling to emotional pain. Don't. Literally just picture it just dissipating in all directions. The same with mental pain. Same with any other kind of pain. If you're having any kind of just visualize it dissipating in every direction. Okay? And it comes back, just keep at it. You'll find that it actually works. So the last two things I wanted to drop today was touching on these last two parts of manifestation, the nature of desire. It's not that, you know, when you talk about law of karma, that sometimes is talked about in Buddhism, it's not that desire is the problem. Attachment is the problem. It's got to happen, and it's got to happen in this way, and it's got to happen in this time, or, oh, my God, everything will be horrible. That isn't desire. That's ego. Okay? The law of karma is actually the law that says whatever you want, you'll get, however many lives it takes, over and over again. So follow your bliss. Have desires. Enjoy life. Explore. That's what being alive is about. Okay? But remain detached at the same time so that you can become aware. As soon as you get really, really attached, you lose objectivity. Your mind clutters. This is where others come in. You know, others can be detached in times when you're not. It can help you. And the nature of setting goals. Again, some of you heard me talk about this. You can't do everything. That's just a recipe for frustration. But I love this way of looking at goals, marginal, target, and outrageous. I learned this from Raymond Arend, absolutely brilliant conception. He says that goals are, by definition, beyond us. We've never done them, which fits beautifully with the hero's journey, right? It's a quest. We've never been there. That's why we need, you know, allies. That's why we need trials and training and so forth. And so anyway, he says, as a consequence, most goals then reach what level of completion? Either 0 or 90. Either we never start it, we simply refuse the call, or we do 90% of it. We do as much as we can, but by definition, we can't do it all. That's why we need help. So he suggests, instead of goals, set marginal, target, and outrageous milestones. And I just love this for the honesty that it requires. Marginal is what our past performance dictates will happen. So the example that he uses is cleaning his garage, right? If he's honest about his past behavior, what's the marginal goal? Well, the marginal goal is, well, there's a decent chance to roll that bald tire out to the curb on trash day, right? I mean, it's like we have to be honest. Not, oh, no, I'll get to it. No. Your past history shows this is what you'll do, okay? Target is the hope for outcome. So something that normally we would consider goal. Outrageous is beyond what we believe is possible. So a target in this case was bagging up a couple bags of trash, bringing them out with a tire. Outrageous would be going to take everything out of the garage, put up shelves, paint everything, put everything back in order. I don't believe that's possible. But it's, what's interesting is that the outrageous starts reframing the target goal. Is not something that is, you know, overwhelming. But the marginal gets us moving. And so instead of 0% completion, the marginal doesn't take much. Right? You've done it before. You can do it now. So you roll the tire out. And then while you're doing it, you happen to bag up a bag of trash. Well, look what happens now. That bag of trash is now your marginal behavior. Right? Target is something else. It's like 3 months later, the garage was all cleaned out and organized. I mean, it's really, truly magical. But the difference is we start to take small steps. Take your goals. What is it you want to accomplish? And don't make a to-do list. And don't say, I hope to get something. Okay? Really sit down and do marginal, target, and outrageous. Given my past behavior, here's what I can be counted on to do. Here's my target goal. Here's outrageous. I don't believe it's possible, but I'm going to put it out there. When you put it out there, you move the horizon. You move the threshold. Okay? It will very rapidly, very, very rapidly change your manifestations. It will get you moving. It will, and you will accomplish. You a year from now, you'll be sending me email going, I did that, and I can't believe what happened. Okay? It'll be extremely different. You start by taking small steps, right? The hero doesn't jump to the other side of the territory, right, in the first reel. small steps, marginal steps. So do that. Set marginal target and outrageous goals. Pick what you're working on. What are the broad areas in your life that you need work on? Put all the small crap inside those categories, okay? And you can call them whatever you want. So like one of my categories, for example, is happy, healthy Jim, which includes my spiritual practice. It also includes time with friends. It includes things that are just, you know, includes running, includes things that is good for me. That's like this area, you know. So I don't have to set like 1,000 different goals or 1,000 different things. So in terms of happy, healthy Tim, what are my marginal, target, and outrageous goals, just for example? In terms of Kuan Yin healing, what are my marginal, target, and outrageous goals? In terms of being a homeowner, what are my marginal, target, and outrageous goals? Okay, the big things. 5 or 6 big areas. Pick the biggest thing on your plate right now. What's your biggest mess? We tend to say, oh, I'm facing so many things. There's no way I can do all this. You know, how many messes can you really have in your life? 17? You know, pick one. What's the most pressing one? MTO, what are the marginal target and outrageous goals for this? This and each month, okay? So we're coming up in July. In July, what's the mess you're going to focus on? You'll find that you can clean up a mess in a month. And, you know, and if you have 17 messes in a year and a half, you'll have cleaned them all up. Don't try to do this by yourself. You need accountability, right? You can't be trusted to do this. You've never have. You need help. You need somebody to move it forward. You need somebody to answer to. You need somebody to give you a hand. And to take responsibilities for yourself. What we need to do is stop telling ourselves that, you know, okay, Tim, I hear you, but, you know, this is the way I do it. I've always done it this way. And my answer is that, and that's where we are. At this point in the course, we know much better than that, right? We are much more complex than that. Use the help around you and use your intention. And if you do it in these focused ways and you pay attention with gratitude and awareness, you will accomplish things you cannot believe. You will have luck like you cannot believe. Things will just fall into place for you. Things will just happen. They will. Okay? And what we have to do is simply do our part in getting all these things working together. All right. So a lot of review today. Next week, we're going to be talking specifically about the return journey, about understanding all this and working with this and going back. But before we do that, that's what I would like you to do for the homework this week, is we kind of talked about a little bit, and really sit down and focus. Go back to May 1st. What were things like for you May 1st? So go back to when, or go back to before you had your reconnection, if you had your reconnection before May 1st. What were things like for you? Physically, emotionally, mentally, okay? Intuition, spiritual. What was your work life like? What was your home life like? How were you feeling? Just what was life like before this, okay? And make a big long list. Let's really thoroughly take a look here. And then thoroughly take a look at where are you now? It's in process, I get that. But where are you now, physically, emotionally, mentally, intuition, spiritually, home, work, how are you feeling about yourself, where are you in things? Let's get some really clear before and after pictures. And I would really like everybody to absolutely write this down, please. Either post it on the Facebook wall or email it to me. But everybody, please make sure that you do this. Get this down on paper, right? This is very important. And then next week we will look at taking this back into our physical world, back to the place from which we came and what to do about that. So, once again, surprise, surprise, I went over, but I would like to hear some thoughts on that and what your biggest takeaways are from today. So, let the sharing begin. So, thoughts, biggest takeaways, reactions, quick thoughts.
This is Sandy. I got a couple things.
Go for it.
When you were talking about like mind, body, spirit, intuition, it reminded me of, and you were talking about how they're all connected. It reminded me of my knees had been bothering me a while back. Well, and even, I mean, they still bother me a little bit. And I was telling my medium friend, Lori, about it. And she channels a collective group of guides and whatnot. And they had said to her that that my knee pain was partially due to my, it had to do with forward movement, forward motion, and lack of my forward motion. So just that physical connection with, kind of the spiritual side of it too, where our physical ailments can have, a spiritual side effect. You know what I mean?
Are you familiar with Louise Hayes's book, Heal Your Life?
You can heal your life. Yeah, I think I have read that.
Yeah, that's the whole deal. She wrote this whole book about what she sees as the physical things, or astrologic correspondence. So, for example, knees are Capricorn, and trouble with our knees is usually stubbornness in some way. I say this to you with having injured my knees frequently, if that tells you anything. But
right.
it's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. And the other thing was when you were talking about our intuition. How can you tell when it's your intuition or whether it's our ego mind? And I have read or been told or whatever, and I keep this in my mind, is that our intuition will always give us a loving, positive answer, and our ego will always give us a negative and judgmental answer. And I always just kind of keep that in mind, Oh, is that my intuition? Or is that just my mind? It's like, well, what was it? Was it positive or was it negative?
Mm.
So that's all I have to say.
Okay. All right. Everybody else, takeaways? What was your biggest takeaway? What was any takeaway? What was the one part you remember, the part where you weren't sleeping?
And you provide, sorry, this is Selena. You provided so much good stuff there. It's going to take a little bit to absorb it all. The thing that I guess that stuck with me the most was something that I actually coach organizations on doing, which is looking at goal setting. I really like how you framed it as marginal. What was the T1 task?
Target and outrageous.
And outrageous. I really love that. It's a phenomenal way to look at it. And because when I stop and look at the goals that I set for myself and the ones that I actually start making progress on, it's usually the marginal steps first that really get me to achieving the outrageous pretty quickly. So,
yeah,
that's a really great framing. I love that.
Cool. Use it well. Okay, well, it's takeaways quickly. Doesn't have to be paragraphs, just what'd you get? What'd you hear?
Yeah, this is Carol. I just want to say there's so much good information here. It's really helpful to be tying it all together.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, and what else? Anybody jump in? Thoughts?
My biggest takeaway was that intention and love are kind of one and the same.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, whoever put this universe together knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
Right?
All right, then. So your homework is the before and after. Please, everybody, be sure to do that. Post it on the Facebook wall or email it to me if you, for some reason, can't do that. And next week, we will focus on the return journey and pulling all of this together. And in the meantime, I wish you well, and give me a couple of minutes, and we'll do some group healing here. Okay?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.